And we're all about Jesus. The reason we're in three locations is because we want to reach people for Jesus. We want to, it's on the back of our shirt, but I can't look right now. We want to go bring people to Jesus. We want to grow them up, second G. And third G, we want to give them back into the world to reproduce. So we believe in, there's a process. So we want to go reach as many people for Jesus as possible. And that's why we're in these locations at such an early age. We're only a five-year-old church. So thank you so much. And today, I'm excited. This is the last week of our series called Strapped. How many of you guys feel financially strapped? All right, a couple of y'all feel a little financially strapped. We're going to be talking about that. This is our last week. This is the fourth week, so if you missed it. But today we're going to be talking about the connection between, look at that guy. The connection between joy in our lives. I really firmly believe if you really want real joy and purpose in your life, the best thing to do is to align yourself with God's word, especially in the area of giving. It's so amazing. God has this connection somehow that directly to the heart where you can actually gauge the joy of a person's life by what they do with their money. Many of us worry about money. We're money worriers. Many of us, we worry about where the, sometimes, unfortunately, some of us worry about even where the next meal is coming from sometime. And you know, it's a hard thing, but God has a perspective, and I want to share that today with you. But by way of an introduction, how many of you guys go on vacation in the summer or in the winter? Skiing, maybe vacation. What's the matter with you people? Hardly anyone goes on vacation. You can't afford a week vacation somewhere? Hey, when I was younger, I have three kids, and I had to bring these three beautiful, wonderful kids that I love. All we could afford is this one-room shack down in LBI. It was off LBI. It was someplace called Scrubby Pines. It made me, like, itchy. Just think, Scrubby Pines. It was one of these campgrounds. We couldn't afford the island. But LBI, you guys like LBI? You know where that is? Long Beach. I love it. There's a place we would go every year. We still go every year. It's like a home away from home. I call it Rip Off Island, but they call it Fantasy Island. It's this place where you go and you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm saying. It's this place where you go and the kids love it. And even adults love it. You go and you have these slot machines, and just like AC, there's no clocks in this joint. So they want you to spend as much money as possible to spend. And what you do is you have ski ball. I love ski ball. There's boat craft right here in Scotch Plains. I grew up right there. I would rig the machine somehow to get more balls out of it. Don't hate on me. And then I would also, there's other video games. But in Fantasy Island, everything, you get these things, these tickets, these token things, you know what I'm saying? And you accumulate them. And then you accumulate them. And there it is. There's a picture of like one of them right there. All those crazy things. And with those things, those tokens, you can buy something. You can redeem it. And you can buy something at the table where you have to wait like 2 hours in line with all these grubby kids and parents that are arguing with one another. You wait in line and you can redeem that to get something cool, something life-changing, something like, you know, you just have to have in your life. For example, you know, my kids, for example, they like all these crazy things, you know, and so we weren't that wealthy at all, but every year I would save up my quarters like this, and we would give them, okay, kids, I want to relax on vacation. I don't know about you people, but I want the beach. I want to, like, chill, you know. Give me a book or something on the beach. I'm laying, getting my tan, you know. I worked hard for it. I want to get my tan. And, all right, kids, here, take this roll of quarters. Spend a couple hours and come back to daddy when you're done, all right? So I figured, yes, so I finally lie down, and 10 minutes later, they come back, daddy, daddy, we're all out of quarters. You're all out of quarters? You're killing me. They spent a whole, how do you spend $20 in 10 minutes? But these joints, you know, they could do that. Are you with me here? You know what I'm talking about, right? And you probably do this at AC. I know some of you people. But but the thing is, it's like, you want to what? I said, oh, okay. So I give them another rolls of quarters. I had them ready just in case. And this is something they get. I mean, this life-changing thing. This is something. Here you go. Look at this. See how life-changing this is? My one little girl, Rebecca, who's not here, This this is about $200 right here. isn't that worth it? It's that wonderful thing that people are just like, you know, dying to have. They just have to have it. They wait in line to do it. And the funny thing is, why I'm bringing this up is you could see so many different strains. Who's the people watcher here? I mean, I don't spend money at the mall. I like going to the mall to watch all you weirdos. There's a lot of you guys out there. I'll sit down. I'll go, well, look at that one there. Oh, look at this one. Oh, look at her. You know, I like to do that. And you find the worst of human nature in a place like this. I mean, you see grubby kids, arguing over the tickets, they're ripping it apart. And then you see parents actually were arguing over the tickets. They were arguing about their kid had a machine and some tickets came out and they left the machine and the parent was arguing, no, that's my kids. And they're going to I said, easy. I'm just watching all this stuff going on in my, it's kind of fun. I have my popcorn out, just looking around, just watching, seeing all these crazy people. Because I don't like these video, I like skee-ball, but not the video games. But thing is, you see the worst in human nature, and it's just crazy. It's insane. But one thing really blessed my heart was this little kid. I don't know, probably like 10 years old. He, I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid. You get a lucky machine where somehow the tickets keep coming out. You ever get that? You know what I'm talking about? I used to rig it at Bowcraft. We'll go over to Bowcraft later if you want to go. I'll show you. There's one machine there. I bet you if it's still there, I could kick it a certain way, and it will ding, ding, ding. Anyway, I heard the ding, 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 and then in that place, the bells go off. Roo, 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 like you're a winner. And the tickets kept coming out, and this kid's jumping up and down. Man, I'm so psyched. Look, I got all these things. He's so excited. And then next to him, there's this little kid. There's this I don't know, it might have been 6 years old. He was crying. Because his machine didn't work right. They weren't getting any tickets out of that. And I love it. I saw his heart. And he said to the little kid, he said, well, here, he said, you could have my tickets. Isn't that sweet? You could go, aw. It was sweet. And then he gave almost all of his tickets to him. And that made me have such faith in human nature again after seeing all these crazy people in there, right? But then I lost it again because about a minute or two later, the kid who got all the tickets, the kid that was crying, his brother came along. They were like twins. He came along and said, wow, look at all those tickets you have. Can you share some with me? And the brother who got the ticket says, no, beat it. Get your own tickets. These are mine. And I thought, that got me thinking. I thought, gee, it made me think about God and how he gives to us and how we as humans treat this, which later on in life becomes money, right? Like this is really $200, are you kidding me? But this is it. And in our relationships with each other, in our relationship with God, in our relationships with other people, how we treat this, we run after this. We found out the last 3 weeks, this doesn't satisfy. This is like junk, right? Because quite frankly, you look good in that. You look too good in that, actually. Give me that back. But the thing is we run after junk like this, and like Pastor Cliff mentioned the last couple of weeks and a couple others, this stuff doesn't satisfy. And the very stuff we think we want, it turns out junk ends up in the junk week, right? And so today we're going to talk about giving and how God, what he looks on that as, and how do we do that together. And it made me think of this wonderful verse. There's a tribute verse up there, John 3:16. It's all centered on the gospel. Everything we do in our life is centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says here, God expresses his generosity through the gospel. John 3:16, we all know that great verse, says, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's all about giving. He gave everything. He didn't give this. He didn't give this crazy thing. He gave his own boy, his own boy, everything. He gave everything. He didn't just give some of the tickets that kid did. He gave some of the tickets. What a nice thing that kid did. He gave everything to us because he saw our pain. He saw our shame. He saw just the way of need that we're all broken, aren't we? We all need forgiveness, don't we? We all have this thing inside of us, this hole that only God can fill. And he knew that we needed forgiveness, so he came and sent his son Jesus, and he died on the cross for us. And he wants us to have a new life. It's all about relationship that he wants us to have. And so he wants us to play telephone line. He wants us to pay it forward. He wants us to be in a point where we're so grateful for what he did for us. Because if you're a real Christian, there was a day in your life when you had nothing. When you were down and out and you were on your knees. You were on your face in the dirt. And I remember that day myself where I had nothing to offer God. There's no reason for him to have accepted me. There was no reason for that kid, a total stranger, to give all those tickets away, was there? But he did it in love. And how much more the love of the Father to us. He did all that in love. And so what he wants us to do, he wants us to see, to experience. It's all about relationship. He wants us to experience who he is and how wonderful he is because he loves us. But somehow we get stuck up in religion and we don't really experience God for all he is because we hang on to our fears and our misconceptions of who God is and even our misconceptions of how we should handle money. But he wants us to be free of that, to experience something like, Jesus, I just want to serve you. And I remember the first few weeks I was a Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible or this or that. All I knew was, Jesus, you saved me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so amazingly, wonderfully grateful. I want to do something back for you. What should I do? And he says, share my word with other people. Bring other people to Jesus. And I remember that day that started. And that's how we're ending up here. That's how we got here. Crazy person like me up here got here because we want to pay it forward to Jesus. God wants us to pay it forward. And giving is all through the instrument of the gospel. It's all through the gospel. So in that context, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about giving and how we should be connected to giving. Now, I know that this is a counterintuitive message. What I mean by counterintuitive is the world does not think this way. The world says, look out for number one, baby. If you don't look out for number one, who's going to look out for number one? Huh? Who's going to look out for number one? No one's going to look out for number one. But the fact of the matter, that's what the world says. Hey, if I don't pad my pockets, who's going to pad my pockets? If I don't take care of myself, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's competition. But God says, no. He says, hey, listen. I'm Jehovah Jireh. No, listen. I'm the God above all gods. I'm the God who can provide all things. I'm the God who, no matter what position you're in, no matter what situation you're in, I'm the God of the impossible. And I'll provide what you need, and you need to trust me. And that's the kind of God we serve. So it's totally counterintuitive. If you're not a believer in Jesus today, I understand you're not going to get this. If you are a believer in Jesus, you might be your faith is going to be stretched. And that's okay. It's okay because we all need faith stretching, right? We all need to grow our faith. But here's the scripture. I could have shared dozens of them, but one scripture here is this, and this you can follow along. It says, honor, this is found in, is that the Proverbs 1, chapter 3? He says, honor the Lord, what does that say? Wealth. Your wealth. That's your moolah, all right? That's like your stocks, bonds, all that, and so forth. With your wealth and your first fruits, we're getting to that second, and then what else I say? And all your produce. So back in the day, this is an agrarian society. This is they lived. They didn't have like computer networks. All that. You know, one of the big things they did was they bartered, and they would bring not just their monetary things. They would have these offerings, and they would have first fruits. A first fruit was the right off the top, the best of the best. It was like the first thing you do is you take your produce or your harvest, your sheaves, there's a scripture I could have pointed to, and you bring it over to the priests, and you present that as your first fruit offering because you're so grateful that God provided you with the fruit of the field. He provided you another harvest where you could feed your family, another harvest where you have enough to eat and so forth. And then the next one, there, I call it the Malachi papers. You ever see like the mob, the Malachi? This is chapter 3. And come on, you Italians, take it easy. I'm half Italian too. So he says, bring the what? The whole. How much? The whole tithe, right? Not half a tithe, not like a quarter of a tithe. The whole tithe into a tithe, by the way, in that scripture is a tenth. That's what it is. It's a tenth. You bring that into the storehouse, and then so that there may be food in my house. That's God's house. The idea there, we're going to get into that, what that exactly means, but the idea is God saying, hey, bring it on to me. And many of us, we fail to, a lot of churches, they have problems with this area, and a lot of people have issues with it, and they don't quite get it, but many of us fail to understand the amazing blessing in giving because we don't have the right perspective on giving. And The first reason is really it's an issue of ownership, number one, and it's also an issue of identity. The issue of ownership is God says, believe it or not, guys, God says he owns your money. He owns, not only does he own your money, he owns your next breath you're going to take. He owns your next heartbeat you're going to take. I have chronic atrial fibrillation. I'm out of rhythm right now. I've been out of rhythm 20 years, but I always think, God, you actually own my heart. It's beating right now out of control, but you own it. You're in charge of it, and it's your responsibility to take care of it, and he will take care of it. He owns everything you have. He says, look, the silver and the gold is mine, 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 mine. He says in Psalm 24, he says the earth and all that's in it and everything in it, and there's scriptures, everything underneath it, everything above, the heavens above. He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The idea here is he owns your house. He owns your job. He owns your money. He owns your bank account. He owns your body. He owns your wife. He owns your sister. He owns your kids. He owns your life, your very life. He owns it all. But the world says, no, baby, I made this. I did this. Now, I don't know where you are politically and so forth, but it doesn't really... I'm not political at all, but one thing Obama said is true. He said, you didn't build this, when he's talking about jobs and people get upset. But the fact is true, and spiritually speaking, there's nothing you've done that God didn't allow you to do. There's nothing that you've done. Even though you've done it, he allowed you to do it. There's nothing that you've done that he doesn't own. It's all his. And when you give a tithe, when you're actually giving something to God, you're really not technically giving something. What you're actually doing is returning, you're returning the percent, the 10% or wherever it is, you're returning that to God where it always belonged. You're just, with the scripture, I think Cliff talked about it, you're just a steward of that money. You're just a steward of your job. You're just a steward of your kids. You're just a steward of that job. You're a steward of your body. It's on loan to God Almighty, the God of hosts, the God who someday is going to break the clouds and come back for his kids and right every wrong, where the lame shall walk and the blind shall see. He does it all. He's in charge of it all. You have nothing. You have nothing except what God allows you to have. Now, that's like brutally honest scripture. And the world, a lot of us, we rebel against it because we think, well, wait a minute. You know, well, that's just what the Bible says, that we are like that, and he says that it's all his. So the idea to have, imagine how freeing this is, to know that everything you have, there's no pressure. Imagine if many of us, I was a probation officer, as you know, and 70% of all crime is related to money problems. Either you're like, I want that. Oh, look at that. Even little kids arguing, like the tickets. I want that. So they steal for it, and they fight over it. And even marriages, the number one reason for marriage breakup is the arguing over money. They argue that the wife nags and the guy has to take it and, no. easy, all right? We're the politically incorrect church. It's okay. But we argue over the money. We think about the money. Imagine that. People worry. People jump out of windows because of money. People have all these issues. There's wars because of money right now. The whole world is basically fighting over oil, and which is really money, right? They're fighting over all this stuff and territory. It's all about money, money, money. That's why Jesus actually talked about money more than he did about heaven, which is really amazing when you think about it. Why did Jesus talk about money more than he did about heaven? Because he understands that the connection, the main line of the goes from, about your attitude toward money goes right to your heart of who you are as a person, how you think, how you live. How you spend your money is a very good indication of how where you are spiritually in your life. You could just, I just get a bank account of people, and I don't have a bank account. I just get a bank account and see where you are spiritually, because usually you could tell a lot about a person by how they spend their money. And most of us, and myself included, would not want people looking over my bank statement going, oh, wait, you did $100,000 on McDonald's last year or something. You know, White Castle. I'm a big White Castle guy. But the point is imagine how freeing it would be if you could surrender that area of your life and understand, yes, Lord, you're in charge of everything. I know you own, you did everything for me. I'm going to follow your way. And God's way is to honor him with your first fruits, to honor him with what you have, he has given you, and let him multiply that percentage. For example, if you give 10%, God's saying, trust me with that 10% to exponentially multiply that in many other different ways besides financial. I'll make your life such that if you trust me, I'll make your 90% much better than that 100% you're trying to hang on to because you think you're in charge and you're not. You hear what I'm saying? That's the kind of God we serve. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? We don't like to hear that because of our human nature, because we want to hang on to control. But that's what God says, and it's a challenge, and it's an amazing thing. You go on to the next verse. And actually, there's three reasons to why give. Why give? Why should we give to the Lord? Three reasons. One, the first reason is this, is that it's the conduit through which he grows his church. It's through giving. The church, ecclesia, all around the world, not just this church, all the churches that preach the true gospel, that Jesus Christ came for lost sinners, that it's only through him and him alone. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through your doing good. It's through the fact that he had mercy on your butt and loves you and picked you up when you were down in the dirt and saved you and forgave you and washed you with his precious blood and rose again from the grave and is coming back on soon. Amen. We're going to celebrate that. And then he says, I want you to take this gospel, which is the good news of what I just said. I want you to take this gospel and I want you to spread it all around. I want you to go all around and share what Jesus did for you. And I want you to go from town to town to town to town. And in the book of Acts, by the way, they didn't have churches like this. You know, they had little house churches. Sometimes the Jews met in the synagogues, but the Gentiles, they didn't have big churches. They didn't spend their money on churches, buildings. They spent their money on proclaiming Jesus Christ and feeding the poor and the hungry and going out sharing that Jesus can make a difference in their life. That's what it's all about. And that's what we need to get excited about here. And that's why, by the way, people always ask me, and I'm tired of hearing it, but let's just say it. Why are we in three locations at such a young church? We're in three locations at such a young church because we want to get to know each other. When you have 1,000 people in one location, you're not going to know each other. Secondly, we want to be able to take the gospel all over the place. We're at Rutgers University because we want to reach the whole world. Rutgers is the gateway to New Jersey and, by the way, the gateway to the whole world because of the international students there. So we're there. We're in South Plainfield. We're here because we could reach more people for Jesus. And over time, it's going to multiply. It's exponentially grow. What is small in the beginning, what is a seed in the beginning, becomes spread all over the world. And that is how the early church turned the whole world upside down for Jesus Christ. But it takes money. It takes funding. It takes that. And I'm so proud that I thank you guys for supporting Oasis and what you're doing. But you're not supporting Oasis. You're supporting God's mission. You're not giving to God. I mean, you're not giving to me. You're not giving to Oasis. You're giving to God Almighty. And it's between you and God where you decide that. But we want to make sure our resources, we want to make sure we get every drop of where we go for Jesus. And that's it. And so he wants us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's a storehouse, by the way? You ever see those silo things? You ever see those things? I have one near my house. Hurricane Sandy blew the whole dang thing down. Isn't that weird? But you put corn in there, and it's for you store up grain for people to eat. When there's a need, you want to feed the town or whatever. And in the same fashion, this is the picture here, the picture of the storehouse being the synagogue in the New Testament, the church, where the church dispenses the funds to preach the gospel around. Now, when I'm giving my money, I don't know about you guys, I want to make sure that money is going to the place that which it says. Because I'm a sucker. How many of you guys are suckers? Good. Okay, I will talk later. No. Well, the thing is I'm late at night, I'm a carbohydrate addict. So late at night, I'll go to White Castle. I'll eat some onion rings. I'll turn on the TV, and I'll see these dog eyes looking at me. Aww. And I love dogs, and I have a beagle. His name is Bagel. And I'm looking at the dog eyes, and then the lady comes on, and these poor dogs, they need your help. They're abused, and they're hungry, and somebody has to help them. If you just pay us $20 a month, you could help feed these animals. Right? You with me? You see that, right? And then you see, unfortunately, even kids, you know. And I want to make sure my money goes places, because I know there's a lot of places where, for example, UNICEF, do you know that UNICEF, 90% of UNICEF goes to the administration. Only 10%, when they say that, only 10% actually goes to helping a kid. What good is that? I don't want that. If I'm paying money, I want to make sure it goes to where it's going to. I don't want it to go somewhere else. Red Cross is almost as bad. They're like 60%. World Vision and Franklin Graham's, Samaritan's Purse, they only spend a real little amount of their time. Do you know of their money on administration? Do you know that the average church spends 65% of its budget on staff? No matter the size. The average church is between 55 and 65, more toward 60 and 65, on staff. That's on administration. That's on me, 65%. Here at Oasis, we spend about 28% or so, Chris is our treasurer, you could do the calculation, of our budget goes to administration. The rest of it goes to the gospel. Why? Because we want to exponentially grow. We want to take as much money as we have and pour it into the gospel. We're not interested in padding pockets. We're not interested in building buildings. We're interested in taking Jesus to a lost and hurting generation that Jesus is coming back soon, guys. The end is in sight. And that's why we want to do that. So we want to be, we're an open church here. I just thank you for giving, but I thank the other location for giving. And I just want you to know, I think it's important, we never talk about it, but it's important to know where your money goes. It's important to know that we're there faithfully serving God for the gospel. And in that next slide there, we actually have a slide of our finances over the last 4 months. You guys don't even ask for it. We could be ripping people off left and right, and no one ever mentions anything. We want you to know where every single dime goes to that. Is that I can hardly see that. It looks like blurry a little bit. But the idea there is, if you see that, we are doing 3 locations on less than $200,000 a year. But that means, if you know anything about church planning, the average church of a size of us, about 230, whatever, across 3 sites, and growing, spends well over $200,000, $300,000 a year at least. Our spiritual higher-ups come to me and say, how, on one church, not on 3 churches, they go, how, this is crazy. You guys are doing this. The bang for the buck is amazing, what you guys are able to accomplish. We're seeing people saved. We're seeing people baptized. We're seeing life change going on, and we're doing it with fishes and loaves, just like Jesus did. And that's something to get excited about. I hope someone gets excited about that, because that's something to thank God about. And can you make that a little clearer, brother? Is that a possibility? But the reason I bring this up is God wants us to be responsible stewards. We are stewards. We are not owners. We are managers or stewards of his money. And he wants us to take care of it. And he wants us to get as much out of it like a getting as much juice out of a lemon as possible. And that's why we are what we are. By the way, that's Chris McCoy's name up there. He's about, can you raise your hand, Chris, to stand? That's Chris right there. Right. He was an AC last week, but we won't talk about it. I'm joking. He wasn't an AC. But if you want an itemized, and you should have an itemized, if you see where every dollar goes, take it. If you're interested, hey, if you want to be an assistant treasurer or whatever, talk to Chris, because, you know, we're open. We want to be open and totally there, letting you know what we're all about, and that's what we're doing. So second reason is this. First reason we want to give is it's the way God has chosen, ordained his local church to get the gospel out. Second reason is this. It teaches us to put God first. Here in the scripture, we see the scripture here. And all around the scripture, Jesus teaches us this amazing principle. You put me first. It's counterintuitive. You put me first. You just seek me first. And in Matthew 6, he talks about it, and Pastor Cliff talked about it, and Pastor Vince too, where I know you're worrying about these things in Matthew 6. I know you need a new outfit. You want to get something that matches this, don't you? I understand that, God says. You know, I would go with the purple, maybe, with the pink. But anyway, I know that you need these things, but you give me first place. You seek me first. Don't worry. The pagans worry all about this. They worry about where they're going to get this and where they're going to get that. No, you're better than that. You're my child. And who am I? I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord over everything. And I am there to provide for you, but you trust me. It might hurt a little bit, but you trust me. You stay with me. And it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. It just seems like, really? Really? See, you know, Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you shall find it. Again, these views are so against what the world says. The world says, pad your pockets, you know, make sure you have that 401 all saved up and so forth, and make sure you're doing this, 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 and this, and this. And God says, you know, act wisely with your finances, of course, but put me number one. And it's a challenge. So it's a challenge in our finances to do that. So I want to challenge you to do that. I myself in my life haven't really, I've had a radical change in my life over the last 6 years. We starting Oasis. As you know, we started with the four people in our dining room table. And the thing is we never reached out to people for donations. Because I was afraid to reach out for donations. Meaning, I'm just a crazy guy. I had one other crazy guy right there. Greg Zanko was with me. I mean, would you trust that guy? Stand up for a second, Greg. There he is, right there. And what are we going to do? The coach said, I want you to call up strangers and ask for money to share your vision of what God's going to do. I imagine myself, yeah, hi, I'm me and Crazy Greg, and we want to start a church. Will you help support us and help invest in eternity for the gospel? And for me, it was like I couldn't do that. I felt like I had nothing that was done yet. There was nothing. I didn't see God doing anything yet. It was just was God just talking to me or something? You know, you don't know. You start doubting. But over the years, and I didn't even, the offering, we were even talking about maybe never even having an offering because we didn't want people feeling bad, whatever. But God has totally changed my heart over the last 5 to 6 years to see. We're cheating you out of blessing. You're cheating yourself out of blessing by not tithing. You're cheating yourself out of what God wants you to experience in your life way beyond you could hardly imagine. It's just remarkable to see what God does in a life. And which brings us to our third point and this. And I love this. This is personal for me. I love this. This third one is that tithing builds my faith in God. Tithing does it because it takes a certain mentality, just like we were just saying. It takes the idea that you're understanding now you're not in control of your money. You're understanding now you're just the steward of the money, and you're returning back to God what he already has. If he wanted to, he could take everything away, couldn't he? We've seen people happen, things happen like that, where things are just taken away, and they were basing their life on money and on this kind of stuff rather than on God Almighty who alone. And it's such a joy to depend on God. It's such an amazing experience to say, Lord, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? God, you know, in the scripture, Paul says in Corinthians, he says, I want you guys, the church, to be cheerful givers. Not like, like me with the kids. All right, take another role. You know. By the way, this is Tim. My one son plays bass here. Tim. He's not here right now. Oh, he is. Well, you're not getting this back, son. This is mine. I've given you hundreds of these over the years, all right? So you're out of luck. Now you'll get it back. He'll kill me if I don't. He could break me in half now. Back then he was like this. But the idea is such a joy to trust the Lord, to see what God does, and I can't wait to see what he does next. And I'm at this point in my own personal giving where I'm waiting to see what God does next because it's such an amazing ride. It's such an amazing experience. In Corinthians, Paul says, I want you to be a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the Greek literally means hilarious. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to be, and Cliff, I think, talked about, he wants you to be so excited to give and not give begrudgingly, but to give in expectation of what in the world, Lord, are you going to do now? What amazing thing you're going to do? And that's, he wants us to step into another level of faith. We're right there. And you know the people that live like that. There's certain Christians that you know, they're just living by faith. And those are the exciting people. They're the ones that have excitement in their life with their faith because they actually see God do miracles. I want to tell you, I've seen God do miracles in the last 6 years. From the time that the stranger gave us $90,000 to start Oasis because I didn't have the faith. God had mercy. I didn't have the faith to ask people, so a total stranger walks up and says, hey, you know the story, most of you. Hey, you know, you look honest. Here, you know, and he gave me $90,000 to start a church. From the time to see God work, so many crazy things. And I want to challenge you on that. And there's a scripture. These scriptures are so true. It rings so true. I didn't put the last parts of the verses in before, but they're in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. God says, you know, open the, honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits. We talked about that, but the second part is there's a promise with that. You see that? And see, what does he say? What does that say? Right. He said, if you do that, I'm going to open your barns up and I'm going to pour in so much overflow. You ever see a glass of water that's overflowing? So amazingly beautiful, especially when you're thirsty. God wants to do that in your life. Now, it may not be in financial ways. We're not the kind of church where you go to some churches and they're going to lie to you. They're going to say, if you give $100 to good old Pastor Dave and, you know, make it $200 because I want to split it with Pastor Cliff. Oh, $300, I want to split it with Pastor Dave. You're going to get back $1,000. God may very well do that, but that's not what the scripture is saying. I'm going to provide you in other ways. I'm going to provide you in ways that you can't even imagine. And just say if you give, you'll get back 100-fold. But it may be financial. It may be other ways. It may be both. But God is going to do something crazy. And that's why I get so excited. Then there's the next verse in Malachi 3:10. And the second part of that says, bring the whole tithe, just like we said before, not half of it. God doesn't want your leftovers, okay? He wants your beginners. You know when you start and you're eating dinner and stuff like that and, you know, you see the great stuff and you start, I don't know about you, but I always start with the best stuff and I leave the yucky stuff for later. God wants that best stuff first. And he says, no, you give me, don't worry about it. Don't cut me out of your budget. You make me part of your budget and let me work that 90%. And let me work that for you and I'm going to do miracles in your life that you can't imagine. And he's saying here, the same principle. See, it's the only place in Scripture where it says test God. It's the only place you're going to find this is in this area. It does say, don't put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Here it says, test me and see. And you see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing until it overflows. And for me personally, I'm going to call the band up. And they weren't even in here. Maybe they needed to hear this. But 4 years ago, I started a business called TJB Web Media. Actually, my sons and I. None of them, you know, but I didn't do it for that primary reason. I did it to help fund this church and to help the kids. And this was my test. And I said, Lord, give me a vision to do something to help Oasis, help the kids, and make this happen. And so this is me now. I'm not saying you need to do this, but I'm sharing from my heart what God did. And it's my story, and you can't take that away from me. But God gave me the number 20. And I prayed, I wasn't going to share this, but God said share, so I'm going to share. He gave me the number 20. I said, 20? He said, yeah, the number 20. And what he meant by that was, I'm going to bless you in this business. I want you to give the first fruits of 20% of whatever you make for this business. 20%? I said, you sure, God? And yeah, he's sure. And I remember my first check we got, we used to charge $2,000 for a website. I remember running around the house. It's cool having your own business because you can work from home in your underwear. Isn't that cool? I mean, as a pastor, I had to put my pants back on, you know, and look presentable. But I remember running around there, but $2,000, I'm running around. $2,000, look at the $2,000 check. And then I thought, wait a minute, $400 has to go to God first, the first fruits. And I got like all like, oh, man, are you sure? But yeah, that was the test, right? That was the first thing. And then after that, the Lord brought back and says, okay, every year I bless in this business, and the kids, we're all in this together, right? We're all in this together. We're all in this together. I want you to take that gross amount, and I want you to increase it by a certain percentage every year. And I said, Lord, in addition to the 20? Yes, in addition to the 20. And do you know that every year since, this business has grown 40% every year. And it's grown to a place where more than you could ask or think to even imagine that you could have, if we had just kept it on our own, more than you could ever imagine. I'm not saying that to bring attention to myself. I'm saying that to bring attention to God. And you take it as you want, but God Almighty is in the business of crazy blessing. He's in the business of honoring faith-filled risk. If you're not giving, you're cheating yourself out of God's blessing, and you're cheating yourself. You're short-wiring your own faith. In Jesus' name, let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you so much for today, and I thank you for your love, Father God, and I pray that you would just touch us here. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch the heart, Lord, that maybe doesn't know you, and they walked in here and they're thinking we're crazy. And I just pray that you would touch them, and may they know that you love them and that you can change them and save them. I pray for all of us that struggle financially, Lord. It's hard. And I pray for each one that you would give us the faith to trust you first in all ways with our finances and then to put you to the test, like it says in Scripture. And if you're not a Christian today, I want you to know that we're here to talk to you about how to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And also, I want you to put God, I would challenge you to put God to a three-month test in tithing. Put it to a three-month test and see what God does in 3 months. Also, if you're struggling financially, we're going to be starting the Dave Ramsey series that a few of us went through. It's going to be a connect group. An action step for you would be to go into that class and learn about how to handle finances. All the things Pastor Cliff talked about, great practical things that you can learn to help your finances. Father, we give this all to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We are going to be going into a time of offering right now. Again, if you have a connection card, and you feel free to put that in the offering basket when it comes by your way. We hope that you'll be a hilarious giver today and do it for your love for Jesus and ask for his blessing upon your life as you do. So thank you very much.
Why don't we stand together, guys? feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my
for those that don't know me, my name is Sam. Thanks for coming. I just want to encourage you. I'm going to be by the door. We're going to have our sign-up sheet for those that want to bring something for a picnic. If you're someone that calls Oasis home, go out of your way today, meet someone.